When it comes to evangelism, it's very tempting to say to someone, you're not able to believe. You cannot believe unless God gives you faith. All these things are true, but it's very tempting to say that, but it would be very detrimental. It would be very detrimental to say that, and if we need an example of it, all we need to do is look at Paul with the Philippian jailer in Acts chapter 13. The Philippian jailer says to Paul and Silas, "Gentlemen, what must I be doing to be being saved?" And Paul said, "You can't do anything. You're helpless. You can't believe unless God gives you the faith." No, of course not. Paul didn't say that. "Gentlemen, what must I be doing that I may be being saved?" Paul said, "Believe, and you shall be being saved." Believe, exhorts him to believe. People still tripping over this a little bit. This is one of the issues, even after my last couple messages. Suppose I'm contradicting myself to say that you can't believe unless God gives you faith. And then to tell somebody, shake them by the shoulders and say, "Believe." But that's exactly what you're supposed to do. And again, I hope the example of Paul yesterday was helpful. Now I'm dealing with it on the evangelistic front. I hope it was helpful when I showed you Paul knowing the truth and yet shaking those mariners and saying, "Hey, unless you guys stay on the ship, nobody's getting out of here alive." Even though God told me everybody's going to get out of here alive. So I gave the truth to someone recently, and it's very tempting to say. It's very tempting to say, "You can't believe this." And I was explaining the gospel to someone, and she said, "What am I supposed to do about it?" I'm like, "Believe it. Just believe what I'm telling you." I said, "This is very simple. Very simple. What I presented to you was the gospel." And I said, "Just believe it. Come on. Come on. That's how you're supposed to do it. Come on. Just believe it." And the example is Paul. And again, it doesn't eliminate my knowledge that I know that she can't believe unless God gives it to her to believe. But imagine telling her that. "Martin, I hear this information you're telling me. What am I supposed to do about it?" "No, you can't do anything about it. You can't even believe. You can't believe unless God gives you the belief." I know this girl, and she would just fold her arms and say,
"Well, I'll just sit here then until God gives me the belief. I'll just freaking sit here then. What's the use?"
This is the damage you do by trying to live in the absolute. It's ridiculous. People get all nervous about it, though. I'm denying the absolute truth by telling someone, "Believe. Come on, let's go. Believe. What I told you is simple. Just believe it. Let's go." That's how you're supposed to present the evangel, and you're not contradicting it at all. It belongs to it. It belongs to God. You're just... And again, I have to tell people I'm speaking relatively. It's too bad I keep having to say this, but you might as well just be derailing God's plan of salvation, that it comes through heralds, through the exhortation to believe. You might as well just be derailing God's way of doing things when you tell someone, "Well, you can't believe." Is that how you're going to start the evangel? "All right, I'm going to start it this way. You can't do what I'm going to tell you to do. You just can't do it. Only God can make you do it." And there's a lot of stubborn people just going to sit there and go, "I just wait for God." We don't wait on the Lord these days, honestly. That was in the old days when the Spirit of God came on and off people. The Spirit of God now makes its home in us. And God now dwells in our life, and He operates all the circumstances in our lives. So what are you waiting for? You just do the thing that seems like the right thing to do. And there are no green lights in God's operation. You're not going to get writing in the sky. You're not going to get a dream in the night. You're not going to get an audible voice. God is the one using every circumstance to paint you into corners. And so you you just act based on all the information you have, on the Spirit of God making its home in you, and on the circumstances that God dictates. I'm waiting on the Lord to see what He might say. Why are you doing that? That's ridiculous. God is speaking volumes through your circumstances. If your house is burning down, are you going to seek the will of the Lord? I just want to see what God would have me do. God would have you get the hell out of the house. All right, that's an extreme example, but it's the same principle. It applies down the line to even the most mundane things in life. I'm just going to wait for God to tell me what, which pants to wear today. Look at your shirt and wear a pair of pants that match. Okay, those are the circumstances God gave you. The temperature, what's the temperature out? Is it 90 degrees with 80% humidity? Wear shorts. If it's cold, wear jeans. I mean, you don't wait for God to tell you what to do. No, you don't do that. Otherwise, you're not even trusting that God's operating all in accord with the counsel of His will. You're not even trusting the circumstances. Here's a fun little absolute and relative discussion for you. Got two guys. One says the rain comes from God. One says, no, the rain's coming from that cloud up there. It's raining. Yes, it's raining. One guy says the rain comes from God. The other guy says, no, that rain's coming from the cloud. This is a ridiculous argument, but I'm going to explain it in light of the absolute and the relative. Which one is correct? Which one's correct? They're both correct. The rain is coming from the cloud. Yes. But it's also coming from God. God sends the rain. One's the absolute viewpoint. Now we're talking about viewpoint. Absolute viewpoint is God sends the rain. The relative viewpoint is it is coming from the cloud. Here's the mistake. Here's where the argument starts. Here's where the stupidity starts. The stupidity starts when the guy who says it comes from the cloud insists that that is the absolute. He insists that there's no cause above that one, that there's no cause above the relative cause. And this is idiocy. But unfortunately, the same argument happens with human free will people. For instance, Pharaoh. You see Pharaoh hardening his heart. Well, what happened? How come the Israelites didn't get let go today after the plague of frogs? Somebody says, well, Pharaoh hardened his heart. Was that true? Yeah, it sure was. Pharaoh hardened his heart. Another guy says, yeah, but I got inside information. I heard that God told Moses before Moses even went to Egypt that God was going to harden Pharaoh's heart. Oh, which one is right? They're both right. Nobody's contradicting anybody else. Here's the problem. The problem starts when the guy who says Pharaoh hardened his heart, which is a true statement as it stands, true statement. There's Pharaoh. He hardened his heart. You're not looking at an absolute cause there. You're looking at the relative cause. The relative cause was Pharaoh. The problem arises when the Pharaoh hardened his heart guy insists that that's the absolute viewpoint, that there's no cause above Pharaoh just being grouchy or being mean or being vindictive or stubborn. He's not stupid to say Pharaoh hardened his heart because there's a scripture verse that says Pharaoh hardened his heart. It says right there in the Bible. Martin, Pharaoh hardened his heart. Yeah, I agree. See, you can agree with these people. But then you look at him and you go, wait a minute, you don't like think like that's the absolute cause, do you? Like Pharaoh's mood, what he had for breakfast, his stubbornness. No, and then you show them God said that he would harden Pharaoh's heart. Do you know why Pharaoh hardened his heart? Because God hardened his heart. I'm going to say that again because it's so brilliant and simple. Do you know why Pharaoh hardened his heart? Because God hardened his heart. One's absolute, one's relative. And again, the stupidity is insisting my viewpoint's the absolute. This is the, it's like saying the cloud. The cloud is the absolute cause of the rain. No. Saying Pharaoh's personal mood is the personal stubbornness. He had bad parents, got kicked out of the Boy Scouts or whatever. That's why he hardened his heart. All that could be true. All of that could really be true. But the wise person, if it comes down to a discussion, will say, well, this is ultimately of God. That's where the free will people get lost. That's where they screw up. They don't think a will is ultimately of God. They think, get this, that a human's decision is the absolute. That's their problem. They miscategorize the absolute. They'll say that your decision, there's no cause for it. No cause. The absolute. God, and that's really pitiful. That's what free will is, though. It's free of influence. It's really pitiful to say that, because what you're basically saying is that God did not influence this will. Satan did not influence this will. Nothing influenced this will. This will, this person making the decision, is absolute. Got a question for you here. Since we're having all sorts of fun today, getting very entertaining here. Who crucified Christ? Who crucified Christ? Well, obviously the Romans crucified Christ. Yes, they did. Well, Martin, but I read the scriptures. I'm smarter than you think, Martin. I saw the influence of the Jews there. The Jews forced Pilate's hand. So I say the Jews crucified Christ. Yeah, well, you're right also. In fact, if you want to get real specific, real relative, we could say that only one Roman crucified Christ, because he's the one that actually drove the nails. That guy, Joe the Roman, crucified Christ. That's true. What if the guy who said Joe the Roman crucified Christ, what if he said that's the absolute viewpoint? That's the stupidity, again, coming forth in another example. Yeah, Joe the Roman crucified Christ. Even though that guy's right, but he becomes an idiot when he insists that his viewpoint is absolute, that this is the only reason Christ was crucified. No, the Roman government did it, and yes, the Jews forced the Roman government. But I got somebody who says, really going to raise the viewpoint. Somebody's going to say, well, no, Satan actually crucified Christ. Yep, that person is right too. That's right. Satan crucified Christ. But then I got somebody really going absolute, and they claim to have scriptural proof for it, that actually it was God. That actually God crucified Christ. I wonder if that's right. Yes, it is. And there are several verses that say so. This was according to the will and the predetermination of God. Everybody can be right, and everybody can be happy, and everybody can get along with everybody else, as long as there aren't short-sighted morons in the scene that will look at Joe the Roman and say that's the absolute, or look at the cloud and say that's the absolute source of the rain, or look at a human looking at Pharaoh and saying, Pharaoh, he had a bad childhood, that's the absolute source. Give me a break. It is a source, yeah, and I'll acknowledge it, but it's not the absolute source. And as soon as you start insisting on that, like the free will people do, you've screwed up your argument and you will look foolish, especially in light of this video.